Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. The second hour of a summer edition of Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, the YouTube. YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. We are back. Nice little Thursday, Friday getaway. And we got the Fan Golf Classic tomorrow, so it's a little bit of a getaway for one day. Although we will be at the course hanging out with listeners.
We will. We'll be there all day.
And
hitting hole-in-ones left and right.
Every other show is going to go, hey, man, remember that segment from March?
That's right.
Take a listen to what it was.
Here's our best of.
We actually recorded.
We did.
90% of the show for Swigard?
I think the first 2 hours of the show will be our top 10 conversation. I'm guessing that's how he's going to do it, but I don't quote me on that.
Now, we have an investigation internally we still have not even talked about. Oh. I don't know if you're aware of what happened.
No, I don't know what happened.
So Wednesday, we hung around.
We did. We were here late. I bolted immediately.
I know.
Because we're late.
Yeah. Well, and you got a baby.
I got to get home to the kiddo.
So you bolted. We were here until almost noon.
Yes.
Okay?
That's late for us.
We recorded content.
Yeah.
We did content.
We're grinding.
Okay? So we have new content tomorrow, and I'm sure most of you will hate us for it, and then we'll be back Wednesday for a big draft edition.
I can't wait for people to tweet me about my top 10. I cannot wait.
Oh, don't worry. Me and Swag are going to get it the worst.
You totally are.
It does not
are.
End how everybody wants it to end.
You totally are.
But we did the show, and as kind of a thank you, I think, from Swigard, because we did a lot of his job for him.
We did, because he didn't have to come up with the best of.
He bought us breakfast from a local restaurant down the road from us. A very famous breakfast sandwich that people in a city in the metropolitan area are familiar with. Okay. And we're eating this sandwich and there's a sales meeting going on. And so we're eating before we record. I'm not going to eat this whole sandwich. This sandwich has a lot of calories. I'm not going to be able to eat all this. I'm going to eat half now. I'll eat the other half later, okay?
A lot of the P1s this weekend were making fun of you. When they were eating a 30-inch pizza, a lot of the listeners of the show were making Sprague medium pizza jokes. There were a lot of those this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you give me a medium pizza challenge, I'll kill that thing.
I think I ate that breakfast sandwich in like 4 minutes and 17 seconds.
So I got about
thing was gone.
I got about halfway. The entire sales staff knows that we have these sandwiches. They see us eating them.
They do.
Smells delicious.
Came out of their sales meeting and saw us sitting there getting ready to record, eating our sandwiches.
Internally, the investigation is as follows. I eat half my sandwich. I'm going to keep the other half for a later time. I have it in a white box. There's a white table right outside our studios. Okay, not more than 20 feet away.
No.
We are recording on a couch that is a foot behind this table.
Your back is to the table, though.
My back is to the table.
Yes.
My white sandwich box, my to-go box is on the white table. We record the content. I'm getting my stuff to leave. It's almost noon. I'm walking to the door and I go, that's right, my sandwich.
Gotta grab my sandwich.
Turn around, go to the table. Sandwich is gone.
Disappeared.
Box is gone.
Somebody snagged your sando.
Well, before I accuse, I walk in. Maybe I put it in the studio.
Yeah.
Didn't remember doing that, but okay. Check the studio. Nothing.
Check the fridge. Okay, somebody put it in the fridge.
Maybe somebody was nice, saw a food box. I'm gonna put it in the fridge. Nothing. Check the kitchen. Nothing.
This is fishy.
Dude, I checked my backpack, my car.
Nowhere to be found.
I checked everywhere.
Yeah.
I got to see this. He checked under the couch cushions. Wow. I watched Sprague
want to accuse.
Well, now I feel a little guilty because I...
You took it.
I did not take your sandwich. I did eat my entire sandwich. No, but when we were recording to paint the picture for people, the table was right behind you. I was facing the table.
But you were, we were zoning
in. I mean,
in.
We were zoning in. I was giving you my top 10, so I was locked into the content. But I feel a little guilty that I did not have my peripherals up and be able to keep an eye on if somebody grabbed your sandwich or not, because I would have had the vantage point to see it.
Now, we have obvious suspects involved here. But
who's your prime candidates?
Well, number one, unfortunately, even though I don't think he did it, my first candidate has to be Dave Kinsella.
Dave Kinsella.
Foghorn Leghorn, the Arkansas boy wonder.
Brandon, I would never take a sandwich.
The reason I accuse Dave, or he's
Brandon,
in my suspect
how
category.
How dare you? I'm running the hood to coast.
Is two different times I have messed with Dave's cubicle area, much like Jim with Dwight.
You put his stapler in Jell-O one day.
And so I finally, you know, came out and was like, hey, man, it was me. I'm sorry. I love Dave. Dave's a good guy. He's got the Foghorn Leghorn thing working for him. And when I went to him, I said, Dave, he instantly smiled. And I went, where's my breakfast sandwich? And I said it with a straight face, and he started laughing. And he couldn't stop laughing.
Couldn't stop laughing.
The way that you say, like, you know, hey, man, and they instantly are giving it away that they did it.
Sure, you got a fit of the giggles.
That was Dave.
He had pocket aces and poker and started smiling immediately, is what you're telling me?
He went all in.
That's a tell. That's a tell, Dave. I can see it right now.
So Dave Kinsella is my number one.
I would like to throw, somebody's saying, fellas, please, it's obvious Dirt is the sandwich burglar. He needs a bacon breathalyzer. First off, how dare you? Second off, I know I am a fat. I had already eaten my entire sandwich. I actually don't think I ate again the rest of the day until dinner.
That's why I didn't want to eat that sandwich. It's a massive sandwich.
It was a massive sandwich, and I ate the entire thing.
It's a day's worth of calorie intake.
And I desperately had to poo on my way out the door, and so, no, I was not going to eat another half of the sandwich, although, bacon breathalyzer is a decently funny joke there. I'm going to throw in Jeff Russ as a candidate.
Really?
Jeff Russ showing up right around that time, seeing us record. He's usually hanging out kind of in the area around the studio. Maybe he didn't eat anything that morning, and he's like, what's this? Grabs it, checks it out, snags a sandwich. Danny Marenk showed up at the last second as we were done.
I was already missing it.
Okay, it was already disappeared.
I was already under looking for it when he showed up, so okay. I'm gonna scratch him off the list.
Wouldn't have been Swag.
I'll give
Swag
you another sneaky one.
Yeah.
Jake.
Oh, Jake.
Our social media guru.
Yeah.
Is he here, by the way?
He's supposed to be here on Mondays.
Not here, okay. No. He's not here.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Jake!
He's got a very quiet nature to him that if he stole something like a breakfast sandwich, he could get away with it because nobody would suspect Jake. He's a very nice kid.
He's just sitting at his computer and they wouldn't even turn around.
I'm an old fogey for saying that, but he's a lot younger than
I think he's like 23. That's a kid.
Yeah.
That's a kid.
So Jake is my number two.
Yeah.
Number three is an interesting one. I don't know where to go for my third suspect here. It's got to be a sales staff member.
Has to be, because they were the ones who walked out, saw us eating the sandwiches, and knew exactly what was in that box.
I don't think Luke would do it.
No, he doesn't seem like a sandwich-stealing type.
Tubbs Ludwig, I've watched eat 95 chicken skewers in a setting, so I think I got to automatically put him on there. Joe Fisher, I think, needs to be on there. He had an eye for that sandwich when he came out of the sales meeting.
He walked out, kind of gave you a little glance, like, ooh, that looks good. Ooh,
well,
that
everybody
looks
knows
good.
That sandwich. When you know what sandwich I'm talking about, you're like, yeah, I know that sandwich.
That looks good.
And so I just, my breakfast sandwich got stolen on Wednesday, and nobody has followed up with any, like, hey, man, I took it. And it's one thing to play a joke. Eventually, you should tell somebody you played the joke.
Bring the sandwich back. I think we need to check the security tapes. We have security, I'm assuming, cameras
in
the building.
No one has access to this.
Nobody has access. So we have security cameras, but nobody has access to the cameras.
So we talked about this on
Friday. Yes. They're in the kitchen area. They're not over here.
Oh, we don't have them over here?
No, I don't believe they're over here.
Oh, well, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, we talked about this, Rashad and I, on Friday, because it did bring me great joy to watch Sprague, like, looking under a cushion. Like, he was crawling through things.
I didn't want to accuse anybody. I
appreciate
lose stuff all the time.
You get a good tell from people, though, when you do accuse them. I think, like, the Dave Kinsella laugh, he's definitely suspect number one.
But see, like, why did you not eventually text me or just,
sorry, Brandon, I put it in the microwave.
Yeah, or something. Like, let me know where it is. Right. Nobody followed up with me, so that
Nobody
tells me
did.
Somebody took it and ate it.
Yeah.
Is kind of disgusting. You just take people that you don't really know.
Yeah, half of a sandwich. I already ate half that sandwich.
Like, what if I have an STD?
You very well could. Who knows?
Maybe. You don't know that.
You could have coughed some crabs on that thing for all we know.
I don't know, man. It really bothered me what happened.
Yeah, there was a viral video I saw a couple weeks ago of a guy who was filming himself in the break room of his office, and he was like, I'm about to get fired and maybe arrested, but let me tell my side of the story. And it was essentially that he had this problem where he was bringing his lunch into work every day, and every day his lunch was getting eaten before lunchtime. And he's like, yo, what the hell? And so he went to his supervisor, and they're like, nah, don't worry about it. There's nothing we could do. And he's like, can we check the security tapes? And they told him there was no security tapes. So he gets the genius idea of putting a bunch of, poop medicine in his lunch one day and waiting to see what happens. And
see who has to run to the bathroom.
And all of a sudden, his boss crapped his pants in his office and then found out he ate the lunch. And then he called the cops on the guy. I don't know how the story ended. But
so you're wondering if it's Ryan Cooley.
Everybody's got to be a suspect. When a sandwich disappears, you got to sit everybody down on the couch and get some questions out. Let's figure this thing out.
Yeah, so we have a little bit of an internal morning investigation, breakfast sandwich being stolen, taken, eaten. I don't know, but still no one's copped to it, so I don't know what to think about it.
Somebody's saying, what about Dusty? Everybody knows he's a nice guy. Also, the new boss acting on the up and up. Therefore, it's a perfect crime. Nobody would suspect him.
Well, that's a very good point. I also want to add to this, we may have had somebody do this to me because we were in the office, not in the studio, recording this. And it started off with dirt being radio loud.
Yeah, it was really loud, yeah.
In the office area, that's kind of loud.
I had my broadcast voice on.
Yeah, he's like, hey, welcome back. I was like, whoa. Thought we were getting intimate on the couch. Dirt's getting loud.
Should have whispered the entire show.
And so we did that for an hour and a half, and I think the sales staff was like, basically their way to retaliate was
stealing the sandwich.
Yeah.
I had the idea we should do it in here, but people disagreed. Swag wanted to do it out there. He wanted everybody.
I liked the couch vibe.
He wanted everybody in the building to hear his top 10.
I think he did. Yeah.
George Mikan being number 2 overall. What are you talking about, Swaggard?
I would argue you had the hottest top 10.
You think I had the hottest top 10?
The back end of that top 10, yeah.
And look, Caliente.
There's a player on that top 10 that I don't think most people would put in a top 10.
Sizzle. Well, I think you're wrong. It's my top 10.
No,
it's
man, definitive. I was happy you put him on there.
I felt good about my top 10.
I'm excited for people to hear our top 10, even if they hate it.
A lot of time and effort into that. And it cost you half of a breakfast sandwich.
I'm really upset by this. The funniest part, real quick, and then we'll go.
Yeah.
We'll get serious here. So I'm leaving. I cannot find this sandwich. I'm like, dude, I'm done. I'm not spending my whole day looking for a half sandwich.
No.
Somebody has done something wrong. I leave. I see Swag leaving. I flag him down. Now, I am parked in between handicap spots in that lined spot. Got my flashers on. I have flagged Swag down in his car. I want to ask him, hey, man, did you see it? He pulls over next to me in
Brandon!
The parking lot. No. Pulls over. I walk up to the passenger side window. He puts up the one finger at me.
Ooh.
I look in. I see, okay, he's on the phone. I stood there for 5 minutes. He just would not get off the phone. He keeps his one finger up. He's laughing at some conversation in the car.
Hold it.
He finally rolls the window down after getting off the phone call with God knows who.
What a horrible breach of etiquette.
And
there.
I go, dude, all I wanted to ask you was if you saw my breakfast sandwich.
Took 10 seconds.
And no. He says, no. And I went, why didn't you just roll the window down, tell the person on the phone to wait a second?
Hey, can you hold on 1 second? Somebody from work needs something.
It's very easy.
Hey,
to
did
do.
You see my sandwich? No, no. Okay, thanks. Roll the window back up. Okay, sorry. What were you saying?
And he's got to be on. We need to measure Swag. What is he on? He's on something because I'm looking at him and he knows I'm at the window.
Yeah, he's aware of your presence.
But he looks as if he's not having somebody at his window on this phone call.
Yeah.
I've never seen this behavior in my life.
He's locked into the phone call, man.
It's just odd. It
must
was
have
odd
been a very
behavior.
Must have been a very important phone call.
Also might have been his way of delaying that he took my sandwich. He bought the sandwich. Maybe he wanted more of the sandwich.
Maybe he just thought, hey, I bought it. You didn't finish it. I'm going to go ahead and take this thing home. I'm slipping it in my briefcase. You'll never see it again.
It was utterly ridiculous.
It disappeared.
What happened to me on Wednesday was ridiculous, and I don't think we're ever going to get an answer because whoever took it,
no.
I think ate it.
If you were going to fess up, you would have fessed up by now.
That's what I think.
It's not going to linger anymore.
It's not a funny joke anymore. Now it's like, you're kind of weird.
Now there's a bit of an issue here.
Yeah.
We got some inner office turmoil going forward.
We do.
Yeah.
We have beef.
We'll name names.
Eventually.
We'll find out.
After Ortner names the fats, we'll name the thief.
I'll waterboard you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to die with that one.
Sleep just deprivation.
Just like whoever ate
he thinks Jeff Russ weighs more than 235.
That's crazy. I never said that.
100% you said it off the air.
I did not.
No comment.
Prove it.
There's not a chance.
Prove
no comment.
It.
He doesn't have a butt.
No comment.
You can't weigh over 235 without a butt.
No comment.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour. We'll get past this internal, investigation.
Based on the tone of your voice, I don't know if we're going to get past it.
Well, it's been bothering me, obviously, since Wednesday. It's Monday. I've still been thinking about this.
It's chapping your ass.
Big trade in the NBA, and how does it impact our team locally? We'll talk about that. It is draft week. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
SGA became one of four players in NBA history to win the scoring crown, the MVP, and the championship with the finals MVP as well. Kareem, Shaq, Jordan, SGA. Boom. There's your list.
Boom. He's the greatest player of all time. Best season in NBA history.
It wasn't the best season in NBA history, but it certainly was a great season in NBA history.
It was a very good year.
Despite him not being your pick to win the title or the MVP.
Shouldn't have won the MVP. Jokic should have won the MVP. He had a better year.
But he had a great year, and part of that year was getting buckets.
Got a lot of buckets.
There was also a team in the Western Conference that had a problem getting buckets.
They need more buckets.
And they addressed that issue. At least they think they did. The Houston Rockets made a trade yesterday ahead of Game 7. Why wait for today when you can do it ahead of your biggest game of the season?
I love that the NBA allows this to
happen. If I was Adam Silver, I would have been on the horn. Don't ever do that again. You wait until the day after the NBA Finals to announce a trade.
It's the equivalent. I know he's a little bit older. Like, this would have been the news of, I don't know, it's almost disrespectful to say Aaron Rodgers at this point in Kevin Durant's career because he's still a good player, but like a good quarterback getting traded the day of the Super Bowl.
No, I would argue it's A-Rod.
A-Rod.
Remember? Yeah. The Red Sox, the Yankee thing.
Yeah.
Like that happened.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the 10th pick, and five future seconds.
Second round picks, man. Who wants a second round pick? You can have a second round pick.
Now, I was told as I left here Wednesday by a noon to three host, he's not going to Houston.
Oh, well, that didn't age very well then.
It did not age well. Yeah. Houston ended up coming up with the package that Phoenix liked the most.
It did.
And so Kevin Durant now is a Houston Rocket. We're going to go to Houston for the ticker with Paul Gallant, get his thoughts on that. Does this make Houston maybe the next Pacers, the team that even though they were a two seed, they lost in the first round, they couldn't score?
They did.
I really like this move because Houston gave up stuff that doesn't going to impact him that much.
Ooh, how dare you disrespect Dylan the villain like that? What happened to Memphis when Dylan Brooks left?
I mean,
huh?
What did Houston do, I guess?
Get the two seed, bitch. Get you two of those.
What'd they do with the two seed?
Doesn't matter, okay? We're talking about regular
season
success.
Dylan the villain's nice to have, I guess, defensively, but like he can't go get his own bucket, and he doesn't really do a whole lot outside of get into trouble.
Sure.
I understand like the whole side of a Phoenix Suns fans of that's all we got. We didn't get
really?
One of the young players. How did you not get Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore, Şengün? Like, you can say certain guys are untouchable. Jabari, they didn't get any of them.
Yeah.
Jalen Green, yeah, good luck. Wingstop guy, we've seen it. He scores 25 in a game, and then he'll score 7. Dylan Brooks, he's going to get a lot of technicals. He'll have some good moments, but he won't lead us.
Sure.
The 10th pick, I don't know what that's going to be. We'll have to wait till Wednesday to see that.
It might impact us because it's right before we pick.
But Oklahoma City had their bucket getter win the title. Houston, really good team, really good young talent, thinks they got their bucket getter in KD.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I actually viewed this as the rare, like you always have to come out with a take. Who won the trade? Who got the better return? This to me was a rare win-win. Maybe Phoenix fan is having that thought. You're dealing with an aging star who was very selective about where he was willing to sign an extension. All the intel by the end of last week said that he didn't want to go to Minnesota, and so Minnesota's not going to trade for him unless he guarantees that he's going to sign the deal. He's got 1 year left on his contract, man. You're not getting a huge package for a guy who might walk in free agency after 1 year. So it's not worth the risk for some of these teams. I just don't, because why would, if I'm Minnesota, why am I gambling on everything for one season of Kevin Durant and then he leaves in free agency?
Worked out for Toronto.
It did work out for Toronto, and Kevin Durant tearing his Achilles also helped mightily in winning that championship, and Klay Thompson tearing his ACL also helped mightily in winning that championship.
But if you look at what they had to give up to get him, I didn't think they were going to have to give up a whole, you know, the whole roster to get
him. Can you beat this
Kevin
package,
Durant?
The 10th pick, and the Jalen Green
stuff? I don't know if you can beat the package, but Ant Edwards and Kevin Durant on the court at the same time.
I would have loved to have seen it.
Julius Randle.
It was a team I wanted him to go play for. Yeah. I desperately wanted him to go to Minnesota because it would have been a lot of fun to see him with Ant Edwards. But I just, as an organization, sure, you might be willing to take that gamble, But if there's another package out there that's better than what you can offer up.
The Thunder did this with Paul George. It ended up working out. He ended up signing with them.
He did. Sometimes it works. The Pacers did it, and I don't know if they had an agreement behind the scenes with Pascal Siakam, and he ended up signing the extension.
I think there was a wink
season.
And a nod there.
Might have been. But Kevin Durant is very adamant, at least according to sources, if you believe him, that he wasn't going to resign in certain places, and he basically wanted to go to San Antonio or Houston.
It was Houston and Miami, according to Shams.
And Miami stuff is so stupid. I think it's a little disrespectful to Jalen Green to act like he, look, I understand he had his ups and downs. He had his hot and cold nights. He had good games and bad games. He's also only 22 years old. He averaged 21 a game this year. Like, he might not be the kind of player that you can build a team around, but he doesn't have to necessarily be in Phoenix. He's going to be the number two scoring option next to Devin Booker.
Well,
which
how's
maybe,
that going to work with Booker?
I don't know, but I to me, I like the fit better than asking him to be a number one guy and a number one option, and so I viewed this as a win-win. Phoenix gets a top 10 pick in the draft this year. The second-round picks are whatever. You get Jalen Green, who's a young player. You can figure out if it will work with Devin Booker. And for Houston, they clearly didn't have enough offense to win a championship, and they clearly wanted to build the team around somebody other than Jalen Green, and they were able to hold on to all their other young players. And so I didn't think the return was going to be astronomical for Phoenix. I thought they did decent. And for Houston, now they look in the Western Conference like one of the teams to beat.
Yeah, if I was Phoenix, we were doing a Phoenix-based show, I would be upset that we didn't get one of the young guys.
Is Jalen Green not count as a young guy, though, at 22?
I mean, he does, yes. By age, absolutely. You're right
there. Where would he have been ranked as a Houston young player last year?
I guess what I'm asking is, what is his ceiling?
I have no idea.
Is this his ceiling? Is he
it better than Cam Whitmore's, though? Or Tari Eason?
I don't know. I think Tari Eason is better defensively.
Okay.
That kind of has to matter. You got a bucket getter and Devin Booker on the team. Again, I don't know how the basketball is going to be shared.
I mean, Tari Eason's older. I mean, he might end up being a better player, but I do feel like Jalen Green's getting a little disrespected in this.
Oh, I don't. I think Jalen Green is what Jalen Green is. Mm. I just don't know how him and Booker are going to coexist.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty big deal. The 10th pick, that's fine. I didn't expect a whole draft haul for Kevin Durant at this point of his career. He's 37 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think from the Houston side, it makes a ton of sense. Because even if KD misses games at his age, that team, because they didn't have to give up all their young dudes, like, that team can still float water and be totally in the conversation, especially if Amen Thompson takes a step.
That's who they want to build the team around.
If Şengün takes a step, and I'm going to love Şengün, I think, on the court with Kevin Durant,
mm-hmm.
their coach is going to hold everybody accountable. He will fight Kevin Durant if he allows that locker room to get out of hand.
Yeah.
That's the kind of coach Ime is. So I really like this for Houston. It was the one thing they were missing last year, and it was the one thing everybody's worried and why people picked Golden State to win. They didn't have a guy that at the end of the game could create and get his own shot. They've got that now.
Yes, they do.
I don't think Kevin Durant is the leader of that team. I don't think he's a leader, period. And I'm not even saying they're going to win the championship or the West, but I think they're definitely in the conversation of could get to the West Finals.
Yeah.
If you make that kind of move, I have to like it. Phoenix, I don't know what Phoenix is doing. Maybe they'll make a good pick at 10 and they'll be able to rebuild this thing on the fly, but sometimes that can be difficult. I don't hate Jalen Green. I just don't know if I like that fit at all with Devin Booker. I would have wanted somebody else. I like Dylan Brooks. He can be a fine guy to have in your rotation on defense and on the court. I don't know. I think I like it for Houston a little more.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant's the best player in the trade, so I don't blame you at all for that.
Yeah. Well, hot take.
Hot take. Kevin Durant's going to help Houston next year.
It is a draft week. Are our Blazers going to be involved in a trade at all? Or are they just going to draft at 11 and sign Ant Simons and
probably. I mean, we've been through a lot of off seasons, and that's usually how we go. It's, hey, big fireworks are coming. Here's a sparkler.
Well, they promised us the busiest summer of all time.
It's going to be a super busy summer, man.
But now it doesn't appear Giannis is leaving.
No, it does not.
So who's next?
Everybody Kevin Durant already got dealt. Everybody else is banged up. I don't know. Boston might make some moves at some point.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or they run it back and say, Jalen, let's see what you got. You're the guy. And
we'll pay the luxury tax. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll talk a little bit about Portland. We had a coach dismissed in a game at the start of the game. So Halliburton left with an Achilles. We had a coach in sports taken out of a game at the very beginning of it. Maybe have some football notes to get into.
Yeah, a couple of football tidbits.
And talk a little bit more about the Thunder as they win their first championship. All that is ahead, but next is the Daily Ticker. Paul Gallant is going to join us down in Houston. What does he think of the Houston Rockets' chances now with Kevin Durant? That's the Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry. Hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new Hard Hops Blackberry Seltzer. Infused with Strata hops and made with real blackberries, Hard Hops are available now at a store near you. Got a bit of news in the college football world we'll get to in a moment here on a Monday. Nice little newsy Monday for us. But in typical NBA fashion, on the day of Game 7, first time we've had a Game 7 in basically a decade in the league, the little bit of the thunder was stolen, pun intended, by a trade that took place as Kevin Durant went from Phoenix to Houston. Joining us now to talk about that is Paul Gallant from Houston, at Gallant Says on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Paul, good morning to you. What's the reaction down in Houston over the addition of Kevin Durant? Fans psyched about the deal? How do they feel?
It definitely legitimizes this team on a level that they haven't been legitimate since James Harden left 4 years ago. You finally have that bona fide number one player. And if you guys were watching any of the first round series between the Rockets and the Warriors, you'd have seen that it was really difficult for the Rockets to do any scoring in that series outside of the few games that you saw Fred VanVleet go nuclear from outside. So I think the first reaction is one of excitement. There's definitely some reasons for concerns, but I think most importantly coming out of this, because the Rockets were very patient with this approach, and it's something that they didn't really pull the trigger on doing until things really got to where they were yesterday. They didn't compromise anything to go bring this guy in. They still have their young core intact, and they didn't give up a bunch of draft picks that they have down the road that I'm sure they're hoping and are looking at and thinking to themselves, man, we could be Oklahoma City Thunder too. Thanks to Phoenix giving us the 27th and 29th first-round picks they have.
Yeah, Paul, how would you evaluate what they ended up giving up? Like, what were your overall feelings of what you think would be involved in this trade? Like, we just talked about it. I was surprised it was Green and Brooks. The 10th pick is whatever to me, but I was surprised it wasn't one of the other young players. What was your expectation versus what it ended up being in terms of what they had to give up to get him?
If they had had to give up Alperen Şengün, it would have been a failure. If they would have had to give up Amen Thompson, it would have been a failure. With Jalen Green, Green's got a lot of talent. He's young. I don't know what he's going to end up being in this next location. I would imagine Phoenix is probably not going to be so great for him, just given what a disaster that organization has been. But that is a guy that clearly has a ceiling as far as consistency goes. I feel like best case scenario, that guy's going to be a great sixth man somewhere else, maybe on a contending team down the road. But he's not ready yet. He looked like the moment was too big for him in that series against the Warriors. So that they only had to give up him as far as young talent. I think that's very important. As far as Dylan Brooks goes, I think a big part of the Rockets over these last 2 years with Ime Udoka running the show is that they had people that were veterans that were no nonsense. Because in the regime before, the Rockets had a lot of, I think, kids that were basically unsupervised, for lack of a better term. Not a lot of great role models for him. So Brooks is, I think, really important from that perspective. But going forward, how much is he needed? I wouldn't say as much if you have a guy like Kevin Durant aboard. So the Rockets did not have to give up that much for it. I did find it interesting the amount of second-round picks that they gave up. But they still keep the great first-round picks that they have from Phoenix over the next couple of seasons. And on top of that, they keep Thompson, they keep Şengün.
Yeah, Paul Gallant's our guest. Gallant says on Twitter, ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Where's the fear about Kevin Durant's leadership, and who is the leader now on this team?
You know, that is an interesting point. I think at this moment in time, it's Fred VanVleet. But I think with Durant aboard, I think Durant becomes that in some different way. I think the real question with him has always been, hey, is he the guy? And even though he was probably to a degree the guy when he was in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. But I think more than leadership, it really is about just the offensive player that they are bringing in. And then on top of that, I think he's a fit. You take a look at some of the connections that he has with Rockets coaches, whether it's Ime Udoka from their brief time together in Brooklyn, or it's Royal Ivy, who's an assistant, who is one of his best friends, Kevin Durant. I think there's a lot of reasons that Durant should be happy here, but that's, you know, he's always seemed like he's in a spot where he should be happy, yeah. And he starts nitpicking. But I think of all the options for him, at least in the immediacy, this one does leave the least room for him to potentially wake up one day and be like, oh, I don't like this anymore. I got to get out.
Yeah, but think about the sports situation you're currently in. You've got CJ Stroud. You've got the Astros in first place. You now have Kevin Durant as a Houston Rocket. I mean, life could be worse for you.
Oh, no. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But Durant always seems to find the way. That's one of the amusing qualities of him. I respect the way that he acts online, actually. I think he's honest. I wish we had more players that shared their true feelings with us on a regular basis. But I'm hoping that this is finally the place that, one, is a spot where he's going to enjoy it. But, two, you know, I've always looked at him as a guy that is one of the best players that we've seen over the last couple of years. And I wonder how much he regrets having gone to Golden State because of the idea that, oh, he can't do it on himself. You know, all these guys and athletes, they have big egos, deservedly so in the case of Durant. He's one of the best shooters we've ever seen. So this situation right here where you do have a lot of young players that are on the rise but certainly aren't at the level that he's at right now, I think if he is able to bring a title back here to Houston for the first time since Hakeem Olajuwon did it back-to-back times in the mid-90s, I do think that goes a long way for the way that we remember him. But he's going to obviously have to win a title, and I think what we saw from Oklahoma City in this series, that's not going to be easy. Those guys seem to have a real stronghold on the West going forward.
Now, we have a little bit of expertise out here on the West Coast. I always gauge his mood based on where he's at on his high. Like, I think when he's trolling people, he's at his optimum high. He's sitting on a couch. He's eating Cheetos. He's enjoying himself. I think when he's moody and not happy, he's coming down, and now he's getting into that soberish stage, and he wishes he was high again. I am curious, though, where you think, moody or not, the Houston Rockets are going to fit to you in the Western Conference, the chances that they could win the Western Conference with this trade, with maybe the step of an Amen Thompson and Şengün playing next to him?
Definitely possible. I think there's two big questions you got to ask about the young guys that you just mentioned. First up with Şengün, I think Şengün needs to get stronger. I think that Şengün showed in that series against Golden State that he's got toughness to him. But I also felt that there were moments where he seemed winded. There are comparisons made between him and Nikola Jokic. I think any comparisons to Jokic are rather unfair, but his size and his ability to pass the ball is really awesome. He's also going to have to get better as a shooter from outside. And in the case of Amen Thompson, it's the same thing. Thompson is the most athletic person I've seen in the NBA, period. He's an incredible talent. I'm so thrilled that the Rockets were able to stumble into him with the fourth pick a couple of years ago. They were so frustrated not getting that number one pick or number two pick, having, you know, some of the tied chances for the top of the lottery. So,
hey, Paul, can I interrupt you and ask you, if you would have gotten three and Portland would have gotten four, I don't even know if the odds say that was possible, because we took Scoot, you guys took Amen. Oops. Would the Rockets have taken Scoot instead of Amen at three?
I think everybody going back in time would have taken Scoot at that spot, yes. Okay. It just hasn't aged very well for Scoot, obviously. But I think everyone, if you go back in time and you do not have the benefit of hindsight to see that Thompson has become what he has become, I think everyone's still taking Scoot. Hmm.
Yeah. Well, we would have taken him if we would have known what Amen Thompson would have turned into. That's a draft we would love back. Paul Gallant, great stuff. ESPN 97.5 in Houston, at Gallant Says on Twitter. Getting ready for a show down there. Thanks so much for the update on how everybody's feeling. We're jealous of you. Getting Kevin Durant should be a lot of fun. Blazers, you know, hey, we got 35 wins. We're heading in the right direction. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Let's do this again soon.
Anytime. Have a good one, guys.
There you go. Paul Gallant from Houston talking Kevin Durant and the Rockets.
Must be nice.
Where they fit in the Western Conference. Yeah, the leadership thing is a decent question.
I think it's the coach.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point of Ime Udoka is one of the most demanding and challenging coaches that is out there.
I was texting with a buddy of mine that likes the hoops, and he's like, who's the leader of this team? And I'm like, does that matter anymore? I'm not saying it doesn't matter. It's nice to have leadership. Who is the leader of the Pacers? See, I think you're going to name three or four names.
Yeah, you probably could.
Who is the leader of the Thunder? You can certainly say SGA. He's the MVP. He's the finals MVP. But you watch that group. Like, there's a collective accountability there. I don't think every team operates in the old, by the way, false narrative of alpha. He's the alpha.
Yeah.
Alpha's not real in the wild, folks. That's a made-up term that people use to grift on. I think there's a lot of teams that operate on accountability. You look at the Houston Rockets, I think you hope Amen Thompson has a little bit of a voice in that locker room, being a young player who's established himself. Fred VanVleet, as he mentioned, might be a really vocal leader that holds guys accountable.
And one of the vets on the team.
Even though I don't think he's a great leader, I think Kevin Durant at moments should be able to like instruct the young guys, hey man, be here, not there, like help him out there. And I think their head coach. And also, Royal Ivy is going to be a head coach in the NBA soon. So him on the staff, underrated with that relationship with KD. I don't think every team needs a clear-cut leader. I think some teams operate with multiple voices and multiple mature leaders of a team.
And I imagine you, Samuel, next year. Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new Hard Hops Blackberry Seltzer infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries. Hard hops are available now at a store near you. We got a little bit of news for the Pac-12. What's going on in the old P-12? We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Mariner fan chiming in at the fan text line. I'm a Mariner fan. I'm with dirt on this. Cubs didn't stink it up.
That guy can Luke Kuechly me.
This is Will last second needing to find a highlight.
You need to clarify that comment. I don't know what that means.
I have a report here. I need to pull something. Let's just get a Mariner highlight.
I mean, to be fair to Will, they were outscored by the Seattle Mariners.
They were.
Whose offense has been
dominated.
Pretty. Yeah, they did.
They were.
They're outscored 23-10 in two of the three games.
They did get outscored.
Yeah. Walk it back right now. Apologize to me.
The Mariners have like a +6 run differential, and they outscored 23-10 at all.
Cal Raleigh hit 4 home runs. This troll on the text line can also kiss my butt.
How about the how about the Rockies beating the Diamondbacks? Is that not more of a stinking it up then?
Does anybody, aren't the Diamondbacks third in that division?
It's just like I mean, they're fourth in the division. They have a better record than the Mariners.
It's a good division.
Chicago shouldn't be losing 23-10 in two out of three games to the Mariners.
I'm just saying.
I think that's the point of stinking it up.
How about the Mets losing 7-1 and being in a free fall for the last week and now tied for the division lead?
But they're still in the division lead.
Cal Raleigh.
Where are the Mariners?
Five games back in the division.
Where are the Cubs?
Like, well, they're 15 in the games over 500.
Yeah,
they're in the division lead.
Oh, they are. Oh, okay. They're still in the division lead, so they shouldn't be stinking it up. So the Mets aren't stinking it up because they're still in the division lead. The Cubs have a 5.5 game to lead on the division.
The Cubs lost to the Mariners in a series
right
where they gave up multiple home runs in multiple games to multiple Mariner batters.
To be honest
with
you, I think this is a little disrespectful.
You didn't even know what happened. You thought the Cubbies won this series.
And nobody was watching this. I think this is This is a little disrespectful. This is why you pulled it, because it's the only thing you watch this weekend. This is disrespectful to your Mariners. You're saying the Mariners being another team means that they're stinking it up. This is disrespectful to your Mets.
I didn't say they were. I didn't say the Mariners were worse than the Cubs. They
it's
dominated
the
Cubs.
First in history of stinking it up where you've been bothered
by
stinking
it up. I'm going to poke holes
in
stinking it up. I'm poking holes in it from now on, whether it's actually stinking or not.
I don't like you after a bachelor party.
I'm questioning.
I think you need a nap.
Definitely need a nap. Is this stinking it up? The Pac-12 has their media deal. Well, kind of.
A part of their media deal.
A portion.
A big part.
Of the Pac-12 media deal. Yeah. Has been announced.
How about that?
Hold on, wait more.
It's exactly one of the people we thought it would be.
Give me a second here.
CBS Sports.
Yeah, dude, come on. I was going to break the news. Back for the sounder.
More on the CBS breaking news with the Pac-12. Dirt, to you.
Yeah, they got a deal with CBS Sports to be the primary media partner through the 2031 season, the anchor media platform for the new conference, paving the way for the next phase. There are still expected to be 3 more partners, so all the intel that we got in the last few weeks, this is according to Ross Dellinger, is pretty spot on. So, I mean, yeah, we can all guesstimate. I'm sure CW, ESPN, right? Go ahead and guess who you think it will be, but CBS will be...
I think it's going to be that combination.
Yeah, it'll be that combo. CBS will be the primary sponsor, so the football championship game and the basketball championship game will both air on CBS. They are expected to air a lot of games, obviously, on the CBS Sports Network, mm-hmm. which is not a surprise. They will have some games on CBS. Like, CBS right now, the only main partner in football that they have in basketball, I believe, is the Big Ten. And they're, like, fourth fiddle in that. So when you look at the CBS package of games that they get, it's horrible for them. So they've been desperate for a little more skin in the game, if you will. So this makes sense on their part. Dellinger is reporting the value of the overall package, which was expected, according to what the conference showed potential expansion targets, to be in the $8 to $15 million range. Mm-hmm. Dellinger is reporting that the total value of the package is expected to be in the lower range of that projection,
yes,
which was 8 to 15. So does that mean 8? Does that mean 9? Does that mean 10? Yeah, I don't know.
9 to 11 is what I would say that roughly is going to be. 9 to 11 million,
but you know who your primary media partner is going to be in the Pac-12. It's going to be the CBS.
I'll say this. I haven't gone through all of the weeds of it. It just came out during the ticker. Point blank, if there's going to be games exclusively on Paramount, I'm not watching those games. I don't have Paramount. I've been cutting more streamers than adding them.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it. And I really hate saying that to start, because this is good news for the conference. They've got a media partner. They're going to have a couple others. They're figuring this out as they go. Texas State, according to this report by Dellinger, is supposed to get the invite at a full member distribution.
Yeah, they're not.
They're going to jump at it, because this is going to double what they make in the Sun Belt, even if it is on the lower end of the number between 8 and 15. And Texas State will add to the footprint for them being in the central time zone in the state of Texas. I'm not expecting the world. I think it's in that 9 to 11 range, which is kind of what I thought it would be the entire time. If the old Pac-12 was only going to get 18 to 23, why would this Pac-12 get even close to that? So at 10 to 11, it is what it is. You try to work it out and you figure it out from there. I just hope none of the football goes to Paramount Plus. I haven't seen that yet, and that's there, okay.
If it is, like, put the riffraff games on there, you know? Bottom of the barrel.
Well, I'm just telling you, I even if they put my team on, I'm not watching that game. Yeah. I'm not getting Paramount Plus for a one-off game.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So I hope that doesn't happen. I like the CBS Sports Network. I'm fine with it. CBS, the main channel, cool. They'll have CW games. The Pac-12 is going to get Pac-12 After Dark. I understand that that's going to happen as well. Don't go to Paramount Plus. That's my only takeaway from this, is please don't put games on Paramount Plus only.
Yeah, I think
basketball
it would be...
games are whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of them. Football, just don't do Paramount Plus.
I think for me as a fan, the question would be, how much of the inventory that I want to watch will actually be on Paramount Plus? That would be the first question that I would ask. Is it like two basketball games and one football game a year? Is it half of your basketball,
I don't have Paramount Plus, so I don't know what's on Paramount Plus.
Well, neither do I. I'm just saying, what is the overall inventory of games that you would need to watch in order to see your team play? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if maybe it sounded like initially ESPN Plus might be an option for some of the Olympic sports, so your baseball games and that kind of stuff might be on ESPN Plus. So that's a good answer for a lot of people. But
already was this year.
It already was this year, exactly. So we'll see more details to come. On the Texas State note, we're going to know in the next week, because their buyout from the Sun Belt Conference jumps. It doubles on
July 1st.
Goes to
$5 to $7 million.
So, yeah, I mean, you're gonna announce that here in the next coming days. We got the first bit of intel on the media deal, and now we wait for the final partners.
I know we're against it, but quickly, I don't know if you want to take it over. Couple notes here very quickly. The mediation between the Mountain West and the Pac-12, you got to wonder, has that been agreed upon? Because they're announcing their media rights deal, and this media rights company was with the Mountain West last year. So you got to wonder about that. The other part of this is, in Dellinger pieces, poaching over the Mountain West program, such as UNLV, this is what he writes, is a high hurdle. Members of the remade Mountain West agreed to a binding grant of rights to replace those departing to the Pac-12. The league added Hawaii, UTEP, Grand Canyon, Northern Illinois in football, and UC Davis in sports, in all sports except football. The Mountain West and Pac-12 considered for years, as Western sister conferences are mired in legal dispute over exit and penalty fees over the departure. So the UNLV hopes seem like a high hurdle is how it's classified.
Yeah, and the buyout for Memphis is likely not doable for the conference, but we'll see. Maybe it would split the buyout if half of their sports or more of their sports went to go play in the Big East and you just got football. I don't know how that buyout would work if Memphis was on the horizon. But here we go. CBS Sports, the primary media partner for the new look Pac-12, which would begin a little over a year from now. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We got a coach get ejected. We got some NFL nuggies to get to. Some more thoughts on the NBA finals wrapping up. It's loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.